Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Proverbs 8:35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. We deal today with the subject comprehending God's system. Ephesians 4, 13. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, always aware of the fact that when we study God's Word, we have to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that makes you strange or odd. It makes you right with God. And so that's the reason why we spend these first moments before we study God's Word, to be sure that we are cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, so we'll be able to properly comprehend the communication, dissemination of the Word of God. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. We are the recipients of grace in every area of life: salvation grace, experiential grace, ultimate grace. We're here because you've allowed us to be here. We realize that life itself is a gift from God, and we're the recipients of that life. And not only that, but we're the recipients of eternal life because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and because we've been born into that magnificent kingdom. The Scripture teaches us that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that. We pray now that the moments of study today will be beneficial to all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you that in the service preceding, we looked at 3 John verse 4. I'm putting this on the screen again, not only for those who are visiting with us, but also to remind all of us in this congregation that this is a magnificent passage of Scripture in relationship to the fact that God has a plan of happiness for each one of us. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children in the truth are walking. Most of you are aware of the fact that we emphasize how the verbs are used. Here we have a magnificent word in relationship to the word hear. I have no greater joy than to hear. The word is akouo. Interesting word indeed. It is used here as a present active indicative verb, first person singular. The present tense means continuous action. The active voice means the subject produces the action of the verb. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. I go over this rapidly because I know that many of you have heard this many, many, many times. But I want you to see that the writer, by the Spirit of God, is saying, I have no greater joy, kara, than to hear that my children, technon, this is not napios, this is not tiny babies, these are children of God. And then you'll notice how in the original language the Scripture presents it in this fashion, in the truth are walking. And you'll notice that we have here the word peripateo, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O, which is the word which means to walk around. And so God's plan is for the believer to continually walk around in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the truth. You'll notice that there is the word walking, present tense, continuously walking, active voice. Each believer is responsible. The participle shows the circumstances, and the Greek word here is walking in the truth. How fantastic this verse is. And thank you for listening to it again. Now, we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 13. We're dealing with the subject, comprehending God's system. Comprehending God's system. In your bulletin today, you had this insert. And the insert on one side has the divine dynasphere, the divine power sphere. And then on the other side, we have the emphasis on believers' decisions. And we've gone over that in the preceding service. I do want you to look at it for a few moments. The believers are to decide which way they're going to live in life from day to day. They choose either the divine system, God's plan, or they choose the cosmic satanic plan. There's no in between. We've emphasized that. You're either cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in light, walking in truth, or either you're outside of that realm of fellowship and you're under the control of your sinful nature. You'll notice number three, life in the divine dynasphere means historical uptrends for the client nation as well as spiritual advance for the believer. We've already emphasized this, so we will not repeat. But notice, if you will, down number five. Believer's decision, residence in the divine dynasphere brings blessings. And then number six, residence in the cosmic system brings disaster. If a person chooses to live outside of the will of God and the plan of God, that means that they're walking, as the scripture says, in the flesh. They're walking under the control of their sinful natures. They're not walking in the light. They're not walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are many times very unhappy individuals because they're not fulfilling God's plan of happiness for them. Number seven is the one that someone asked a question about, and I wanted to share this with you because it's so fantastic. The question was asked where it says, information received while out of fellowship has no motivation value. And I want to ask you, if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you'll open your Bibles, please, and let's look at this for just a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, which says, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. What we have here, and I've said this many, many times, and I want you to see that there's a difference between an unsaved individual and a saved individual. When a person is born into God's kingdom, God works a miracle of regeneration and causes them to have the ability to understand, to comprehend, to appreciate, to enjoy the things of the Spirit. The unsaved person is body and soul, but the saved person is body, soul, and spirit. We've heard this thousands of times over the last 40 or 50 years, but I want you to see how powerful this is. In other words, when a person is unsaved, the scripture here says that they're natural, which means an unsaved person is a natural person. They see things naturally. They're not able to see things from a spiritual vision or ability. And the word that is used to describe this in the original language is the word psychikos. And if you look at that word, you will discover that the word means soulish. So a person who is unsaved can only see things from a soulish, natural viewpoint. That's the reason why body, soul, and spirit for the believer, body and soul for the unbeliever. So that means that the unbeliever has body and soul, but doesn't have that third part, which is the comprehending ability to appreciate and understand and enjoy things in the realm of the spiritual. Let me tell you something that you already know, and that is when God worked the miracle of regeneration, God moved you from dichotomy It's a trichotomy. God moved you from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit, which simply means now you and I have the ability to appreciate, to understand those things in the realm of the spiritual. This is not new to you. This is not even new to our visitors, because these are believing individuals, and I've come to, even though I don't know them very well, appreciate their commitment and dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was very impressed with Mary Jo. We took food out there, and before we left, she said, "Before you leave, may we pray together." And I thought, how sweet and how wonderful. And so I've concluded that these two individuals are missionaries in the various ways that they're helping, and I appreciate that very much. They understand what I'm saying, and that is that a person born into God's kingdom is body, soul, and spirit. God has worked the miracle of regeneration, and as a result of that, the person is no longer, though they can be under the control of their sinful nature at times, they are now moved into an area where they can utilize spiritual food. They can utilize spiritual thoughts. They can comprehend spiritual things and advance in that area. So we have two primary words used here. The natural man is psychikos, which means soulish or natural. The person who is born again, you'll see it's described in a different fashion. Let me read it again. The natural man cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. In other words, that's the word moron there. Their foolishness unto him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually comprehended. And the word spiritual there is the beautiful, magnificent Greek word pneumatikos. How fantastic that is. And so it shows us that God has given a means by which we can comprehend His magnificent system and plan for our lives. On the backside, you will see, and we've seen this many, many times, what we call the divine power sphere. You'll notice that there's an emphasis on the filling of the Holy Spirit, basic and personal love, the ability to have a relaxed mental attitude, humility, which means enforced humility, organizational humility, and genuine humility. You'll see that step four there is perception and application of God's Word. This is a unique way of just simply saying that when a person is living inside of this power sphere under the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they are able to be perceptive to spiritual things and learn those things and apply those things. Also, you'll notice the bottom section here, gate 5, 6, 7, and 8, magnificent results of the first four. The first four, of course, filling of the Holy Spirit, basic and personal love, having a relaxed mental attitude, humility, perception and application of God's Word. Then you'll notice the final results that come. Gate 5 is personal love for God. Number 6 is impersonal love for companion. Most of you are familiar with the difference between personal and impersonal love. A husband and wife has the magnificent gift of personal love, and it's wonderful, but a family cannot, a husband and wife cannot succeed in life without the ability to have what we classify as unconditional or impersonal love. The word impersonal is not probably a good word because it seems to be impersonal, but I want you to know that we're not talking about something impersonal. We're talking about unconditional love. And I promise you, husbands and wives who live for God and live according to God's plan have unconditional love for each other. They not only have personal love for each other, but they have unconditional love for each other. That simply means that when they say, "I love you," the emphasis is not on the direct object. The emphasis is on the subject. Do you get that? In other words, when a man says to his wife, "I love you," the depth of that love, the dependability of that love is not based upon her response. It's dependent upon his character and his relationship to God and to his companion. I won't get into that because I would enjoy talking about that to you husbands and wives, but I want you to understand that there has to be unconditional love. And then number 7 is love in relationship to friends or advanced impersonal love for everyone on the earth. And then the last word we emphasized in the first session today, and I reiterate now, It is the Greek word chara, C-H-A-R-A, a beautiful word. It is the word that is translated joy, but in reality it is the word for happiness. And I believe that God's plan is for us to have happiness. I do not believe that we should be frustrated, perplexed, bewildered, confused. We have a responsibility to be right with God, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, so that we can enjoy life, have contentment, joy, peace, happiness, and so forth. My, you're listening fast. You're listening fast because I'm talking fast. I didn't talk fast in that first session. It just kind of bugged me that I went so slow. But anyway, now I want you to see some major points. Comprehending God's plan of happiness. Number one, recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life. I'm going to give you time to take these points down if you so desire. I want you to be able to see that God's plan for our happiness, we have to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life. When I talk about the source of life, I'm not only talking about the source of life from the standpoint of eternal life, being born into God's kingdom. I'm also talking about the source of life when you and I are living every single day. God has blessed me. God has blessed my companion. God has blessed our family. We express a thanksgiving to God on a daily basis for how He has blessed us over these many, many years. 63 years of marriage. Many, many years in the ministry. We've said this time and time again. God is so gracious and magnificent and wonderful to us. And we express our thanks daily for His grace. We must recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life. Not only the source of eternal life, but the source of us being able to live each day. And though we moved very quickly to number two, we must be able then to view life from a divine perspective. I promise you that you and I cannot see life from a divine viewpoint, a vertical viewpoint, if we're not seeing life through the teachings of the Word of God. We have to understand and be filled with the Word of God in order to be able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. Otherwise, we're going to be seeing from a horizontal human viewpoint. And God does not want believers to see just from a human horizontal viewpoint. There are things we will be seeing normally and naturally from a human viewpoint. But our viewpoint must climb and get higher and above the horizontal things of life, so that we can see the various events and circumstances and difficulties and problems and blessings. All of these things we're able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. Now I stop to breathe a second and let you think about what I'm saying. View life from a divine perspective. Number three, relate everything to the Lord. Now think about that for a few moments. Relate everything to the Lord. I wake up one morning and my head is hurting. Now, I haven't had this, but I'm just giving you an illustration. And I say, oh, what a miserable day. And I say, good Lord, morning, instead of saying, good morning, Lord. Did you notice the difference there? My head is hurting. Your head is hurting. Your body is in pain. There's no doubt about that, that we are seeing that from a horizontal human viewpoint, which is only normal and natural. Snow, I want you to realize that we see things which is normal and natural from a horizontal human viewpoint, but we have to get above that. And we have to see what's going on, the perplexities, the bewilderment, the various things that take place in life, pain, disaster, whatever it is, we have to get above that and say, oh, wait a minute. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And then you misread that. We know that all things work together for good. And you don't pay any attention to the rest of the verse. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. You see how powerful and wonderful and magnificent that is? I'm seeing here, view life from a divine perspective. I must hasten. Again, relate everything, no matter what it is, that morning headache, whatever it is, the body pain, relate everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, realize that difficulty, suffering, is a necessary part of Christian advance. Now, you're going to have to think with me about this, because some of you are going to say, tell me again, preacher, what you mean by that. Realize that difficulty, suffering, is a necessary part of the Christian advance. We've had in this city and in this area what was 50 or 51 inches of rain. I'm telling you, we can go to various communities throughout this city and we can see things stacked high in their driveway and out on the curb, where we're able to see that there's been one home after another that has taken on water. I could give you one illustration after another of people who have that I've talked with and have explained to me some of the things that have taken place. I know that that's true not only by other people, but some who are related to our church family. I want you to know that that is difficulty. That is suffering. But I looked at this and I realized that difficulty and suffering is a necessary part of our Christian advance. These individuals, I believe, and I am familiar with a number of these individuals, they've been able to utilize the difficulty to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, number five, maintain an attitude of gratitude. That's a powerful statement. Maintain an attitude of gratitude in the light of all these various types of circumstances, in the light of the difficulties, in the light of the tragedies, in the light of the pain, in light of the whatever has happened to us. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. And this is what I've seen over and over again by individuals whom I love and appreciate who had a lot of difficulties in recent days. And I've noticed that there's an attitude of gratitude. Number six, embrace His principles and utilize biblical concepts and doctrines. This is a powerful statement indeed. I'd like for you to write it down. Embrace His principles and utilize biblical concepts and these magnificent biblical doctrines of the Word of God. We looked at that in the service at the first session today. Embrace the principles and utilize the biblical concepts and doctrines. Number seven, this is very important. Depend upon the integrity of God. Our Heavenly Father has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. Depend upon the integrity of God. God is not going to let us down. God is going to continue to bless. And I promise you, the Scripture reveals to us very magnificently that grace pursues believers who live in accordance with His divine plan. I stop again to let you see what I've just said. Grace pursues individuals who allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be preeminent, first place in life. Depend upon the integrity of God. But also, number eight, remember that this earth is not our real home. This earth is not our real home. I appreciate the fact that we have amens inside. We also have amens out in the hallway. So anyway, in case you heard an amen, you got it from the hallway. These are our security people. But that not only are they secure, but they are secure. In other words, they enjoy listening to the communication of the Word of God, but they keep you in mind for your protection. Remember that the earth is not our real home. Number nine, be aware of daily grace victories. Be aware of daily grace victories. Now I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go back with me and let's look at our verse of Scripture. I felt like that you have not looked at it very much with me, but let's look at it now. Until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a complete man, I realized what I did. I got carried away with the comments about 1 Corinthians and didn't take you to our verse that we're studying now. Here we are in our verse we're studying now. Ephesians 4:13. The Apostle Paul said to the believers in Ephesus, until we all arrive at the unity of the faith, of the full knowledge of the Son of God. Would you allow me for just a few moments, and I realize time goes by so rapidly when you're having fun. When we arrive, the Greek word is kat, A-N-T-A-O, kat antao. That may not mean all that much to you, but it means a lot to me because it means something for me to say to you, so it'll mean a whole lot to you. Okay, until we arrive. If you'll notice, it's a verb in the subjunctive mood. The subjunctive mood is a mood which means maybe yes, maybe no. A person may or may not get there. My desire for our congregation is that we get there. Can we continue to grow and advance on a day-by-day basis? Jesus Christ preeminent, the Word of God saturating our souls so that we can advance, so that we can get there until we arrive at the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God. Oh, do you see how beautiful this is? Stop with me. Look with me. Until we arrive. Aorist tense, point of time. Each individual is responsible for doing this. Active voice. Subject produces the action, which means each individual is responsible for doing it. Subjunctive mood means maybe they will, maybe they won't. Now you say, well, I don't want to know that much about the Greek. I want you to know, folks, you need to know what the Greek says. It says some people are going to make it, some people are not going to make it because of their indifference, their coldness. They are not going to be what God wants them to be, but that doesn't have to be that way. They can grow. And they can come to a point of E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. There's not a person in this auditorium who've been listening to me preach over the last 50 years who do not know what that word means. That means not just knowledge, gnosis, that means full knowledge, comprehending knowledge, knowledge that can be utilized. So look at it until we arrive at the unity of the faith, of the full knowledge of the Son of God. And then it says, if you want to be a complete person, a complete man, a complete lady, here it is. At a complete man, as a complete man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, let's go back to our points. Number 7 again, depend upon the integrity of God. Number 8, remember that this earth is not our real home. Number 9, be aware of daily grace victories. Number 10, look at all things in the light of eternity. God's plan is for us to comprehend His magnificent system of advance. Wow. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the challenges of Your Word. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that You do have a plan for us to be happy, contented, have pleasure, have an enjoyable life. Even though we find ourselves at times involved with the horizontal things, human activities, human difficulties, but help us to be able to get above that and see from God's vantage point, from a vertical viewpoint. These closing moments of this service are designed for people, no matter where they are, anywhere around this world. If they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, this is their greatest, most desperate need. We realize that God loved us so much. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He went to the cross to die for our sins. Jesus Christ is not only a dying Savior, but a resurrected Savior who sits at the Father's right hand to make intercession for us. So we pray that at this very moment, those who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior will realize that this is their most important need in life. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for that. We know that Jesus himself is the way of salvation because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He says, I am the way. He did not say, I'm some truth. He says, I am the truth. I'm the way of life. We believe that the Bible is so right, doesn't lie to us at all. And if any person will accept you as personal Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says they'll be saved. So we pray that at this very moment there will be those who will trust you. We thank you again and again for your grace and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.